Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
He's putting all that on.
Why do you have fingernail clippers and they're not fully shut? Again, what is wrong with you and things?
Okay,
you close scissors.
There's
you
no,
close fingernail clippers
okay,
and put the
closed.
It was wide. It was wide open and turned upside down for you just to grab and it to clamp on your skin.
That wouldn't be possible. Why is that?
Golly, are you just like a? Oh,
what is it now?
Well, this okay, cord. You're like you. It's like. Oh, God, we're never going to start. This is supposed to be our anniversary show. Fuck it.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do, 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 do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes. Let's love.
So did you want to know me after you figured out I was good in bed?
What? What?
Most confusing line ever.
And no one ever clarified.
No one!
Biggest fail of Sean Robinson.
Totally.
If someone says they're good in bed, they usually... Well, it depends, but you need to follow up and say, are you good in bed? You can ask about fucking Emily's parents' sex life that's not even on the show.
It was
I don't understand.
Serious misfire.
Misfire.
This whole second half of the tell-all was fell flat for me.
Oh. Yeah. Y'all, welcome
this
to Reality
Gaze. Reality Gaze.
Tell-all part two, and y'all, more importantly... This is our third anniversary of this show.
It's our third anniversary of Reality Gaze.
Y'all have been listening to this shit for 3 years, and you should probably have yourself examined.
I don't know how you've done it.
Boy, I would have checked out at least a year ago. I would have said, I get it. You're gross.
I checked out. I checked out by the first year.
Pretty much. No, it's, you know what? It's a
happy anniversary,
happy
Maddie.
Happy anniversary. Yes, it's a dream come true.
What is the third anniversary? Well, I know the first is paper.
Paper, and then the second one is plastic, and the third one's compost.
Pewter.
Pewter, I don't know.
What is...
Ask your Siri.
Hey, Siri, what do you get for the third anniversary? Never mind. Hey, Siri, what do you get for the third anniversary?
Is Siri telling you?
Ooh. Look, it looks like it's leather.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Well.
Ooh, I'm accepting harnesses.
Wow.
Wow. Saddles, harnesses.
Wow, back in the saddle.
Chaps. All of it.
I'm actually...
Not to use with you.
No, I'm fine with all of that. I like a good harness, just not with you. Yeah.
It's telling good you, for grabbing.
I'm telling you, y'all, if you've never had sex in a leather sling, then you're working too hard.
I don't think leather slings, I think that would chafe.
You're wrong.
All right.
You're wrong, yeah. For 20s.
Where are we?
You started talking about leather and bondage, and you don't know what's happening. Y'all... What a way to celebrate our anniversary. Then going on our tour, on the Doublet Tour.
The Doublet Tour.
We're very excited. We're going to, we have a little bit of some things going on. First of all, for New York, tickets are still fine for New York. However, Chicago, the VIP,
low ticket alert,
low ticket alert. Chicago, Atlanta,
low VIP ticket alert.
D.C.
Yeah, we're at DEFCON 5 there.
It's 9 VIP tickets left. So,
and Tampa VIPs are already sold out.
They sold out. We told you our Patreons are some thirsty hoes and our Super Sissies and Supercast, and they bought them all.
I'm a little pissed off that it was the first, after I basically shaded y'all, I'm a little pissed off that it was the first VIP to sell
Floridians
out.
Fucking came for you, and now you've got egg on your face.
I respect it.
I respect it.
I don't respect you, still. I'm excited. I respect the work.
I'm excited
to go to Tampa.
Your state
is still a trashy.
It looks beautiful. I think I might stay a couple of days afterwards and do like a little fun thing there and just see the sights.
Great.
Also, we found out during...
I don't care what you do.
During Atlanta, we're going to be there, y'all, during Atlanta Pride.
Yes.
That's very exciting.
Ooh.
Speaking of leather, there you go. You can celebrate. And Tampa is going to be Poodle's birthday weekend show.
I don't want to call it a birthday weekend.
I am. It's your birthday.
Shouldn't I be able to choose how I celebrate
well,
my
your
birthday?
Your birthday's on the 13th, so if we're doing Tampa on the 14th, it's perfect.
Fine.
I'm going to have, since we're in Florida, maybe I can hire Kara to make a balloons with your age.
Kara's not in Florida. She's in Virginia.
I always think she's in Florida. Well, she can't really fly.
It's that brain disorder.
She'll be a month away from giving birth. So.
Yeah, at that point.
Well, that's fucked. Oh, well. Anyway, we're excited.
We're very excited.
We have some other announcements. We're going to put them in part two, actually. We're kind of breaking it up. But one more. What was it? Our collab.
Collab with...
6 Degrees of Reality.
6 Degrees of Reality TV.
Yes.
With Amy and Leslie.
Yes.
And we talked about MAFS, Married at First Sight San Diego.
Oh.
And those individuals.
Oh, Lindy. Lindy!
Yeah, I kind of want to watch just for Ooh. Lindy. And for the dog couple. And see how, because that's not
Justin,
gonna work out.
And Alexa, Ariella?
Alexis.
Yes. I definitely want to go back and watch the honeymoon episodes just to see Miguel shirtless.
Yeah, and that move that they were talking about, Ben actually told everyone like a gossip that his wife then... was not actually finished with her nursing degree.
When he actually didn't understand how nursing degrees work and she actually already was a nurse.
That would have been it for me.
That would have been it for me, too.
I would have left the show.
Yeah, being Ben is just...
Ben.
He's a piece of shit.
They're all pretty awful.
Well,
I only gave two of the couples a chance. The other three were most dramatically DOA.
Yes. Speaking of DOA, we're going to talk, but that's part of our, y'all, we have some Love is Blind updates on part two.
Woo! Now, I can honestly say, Iyanna and Jarrett getting divorced, not surprising at all.
Save it for part two. We said we're going to announce it part two.
Oh, I completely ignored you. I heard you say it.
You're the one that suggested it.
I heard you say it.
And it was your idea.
I know, you're right. We're going to do it now because I already kind of gave it up.
This was your idea.
We're doing it live. Iyanna and Jarrett, dunzo. Even though they put out like a thing,
yeah,
a Facebook post about or Instagram post saying, blah, 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 can't get us down, blah, 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 respect our privacy, blah, blah, blah. It almost, and then same week, Nick and Danielle announced they were divorcing. It's almost like they had a big hourglass and it just ran out.
Yeah, pretty much. Yes, like in The Wizard of Oz.
So that means no one from that season.
No one. I bet Nick together. And Danielle went to their fourth therapist, and the fourth therapist just said, "Break up already." Break up already.
For some reason, I had a little bit of hope for them but I think both of them realized that finding a way to tolerate the other was just going to take so much work. And I think especially Danielle's issues. There's a lot of issues there.
Well, I guess but remember Nick's came out, his issues too.
I agree.
And so
Danielle's were more apparent, though.
Yes. But Nick's was, speaking of parent, like, didn't he have no relationship with his mother and stuff like that or something?
No, he met with them.
No, with his own mother.
No, he met...
But we met his family, though, and they were...
No, we met his mom.
Well... But, I mean, Danielle's mom was like kind of a...
Danielle's mom was a wine slur.
But remember his mom, and sister, remember, were really harsh.
No, they were weird, but it's not that he didn't have a relationship with them.
I feel like, though, it came out later that, like, they'd had a lot of trouble. So I'm just saying...
Oh.
I think he has mama trauma.
No, I agree with you.
That's what I meant.
No,
by
I
that.
Was saying we saw them on the show.
Yeah,
they
were
really cold.
I think we thought that maybe they would be wounded sparrows together that could help you.
Yeah.
No. Nope, they're just shot and dead now. It's done.
Why are you just... It's weird. I drink out of a glass all the time, and you're...
Yeah. I'm doing what you do. I'm drinking water out of a glass.
It's weird. Put it down. Don't just sit there with it.
I'm just holding it. What? I'm just relaxed.
I think it's like we're at a cocktail party or something.
Y'all, if you're watching The Intimate Portrait right now, first of all, you're sitting right here.
You're drinking a Waterloo.
Waterloo. I do. I enjoy
Waterloo. Waterloo. Y'all get ready.
They're very good.
In episode two, or part two of this, it's time for Poodle's Broadway Corner again. I'm not going to do that now, though.
I don't know what you're going to do.
So, yeah, they're done, which means it is a perfect goose egg for season two of Love is Blind. And season one, remember, still has two of the couples that did get married.
Yeah.
Are still together.
Yeah.
Because no one else got married, right?
No.
Gigi, yeah, Mark, who is 24, and Jessica.
Yeah.
And Kelly and... Vegetable lasagna.
Which, by the way, y'all, I didn't know this. Yeah. Poodled it. But when we did the 6 Degrees of Reality, if you do like Love is Blind, you should watch Married at First. All right. Same production.
Same producers.
Same producers. Yeah. So very similar feelings. All right. Let's get into Sparkles.
Woo!
Woo!
So, okay. We're right in the middle.
We should tell everybody. I'm sorry. Y'all, we're just taking this tell-all. Normally, we do couples.
Yeah.
We're doing this in chron order because basically... Because Jabri inserted himself and every other couple into every fucking conversation, it completely ruined the structure of the tell-all of this part. And so...
Because we had to stop every time Jabri had an issue with
every
someone.
Every time he had an issue. So now we're going to have to do it this way.
Thanks, Gibberish.
Thanks, Gibberish.
So we're stopped mid-sparkles.
Mid-sparkles.
And basically, it's interesting. I want to talk about Jabri's language every time he feels he sees another person that he wants to demean.
Mm-hmm.
Is always, well, he's dimming light because his light isn't lit.
Yes.
He's either being oppressed. He wants to oppress me because he's jealous of me.
It's always he's jealous. Well, that's what a narcissist says.
Yeah.
That is like 101 when a narcissist says, oh, they're jealous of me.
This is, and I'm sure I'm speaking for all of you, as all of you were screaming, I kept saying, please stop doing this. Please stop. Please stop. Every time he would talk, when a person like this is in your life, it is exhausting.
This is what he does when we see, I mean, he said that later about David. This is what he says about everyone.
Yeah.
In every aspect of his life, they're jealous of him.
His parents were right. I can't believe I'm saying that.
What?
Right? They were right.
Right in
what? To do everything they said to him about We think you're making a rash decision. We think because it's all been done before. They've seen so many of these situations.
I don't necessarily love the way they handled it,
right.
But they were right, yes.
I almost can't fault the way they handled it.
I can fault her because she raised that.
I see that.
Yeah.
I'm just so appalled by how he behaved.
Oh, yes. I actually think Jabri is... I hate him more than anybody we've watched on 90 Day Fiancé.
That's amazing. I don't think that happens to me, but...
No, he bothered... I would rather watch a marathon of Big Ed than Jabri.
That's a statement, ladies and gentlemen.
Give me 10 hours of Mark and Nikki over Jabri.
Oh, no.
No, I'm telling you.
Does it, what,
can I have a David and Lana weekend?
So what? Oh, get specific.
Because Jabri doesn't get specific.
Right.
Specific.
So tell him, what is it that grinds your gears?
Well, you said to that, we both talked about, there's
not
no,
like I don't know. No, I don't authenticity. Agree with you. Yeah. It's the nth authenticity.
But
yeah.
Also, it is the, I really just can't, the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Because Jabri is, he spots it and you spot it, you got it. And he's literally, and Ari tried to call him out, but Ari's just, y'all, she's not good with words sometimes. But his ability to not talk about people, what's going on, but he had just attacked someone's character for who they are and tries to hurt them.
Right.
Like, talks about their identity with actually no specifics of what really the problem is.
He's a bully.
And
just,
he is a bully. Yes, Jabri is the bully.
And we heard so much about him saying, I was bullied for the way I look. I was blah, blah, blah. And he said, my mom sent me to military school to fix that out of me. And we hear this again and again, you guys, when you send people to military school or send people to, like, tough love camps, it only makes things worse. They only come back bigger bullies.
Yeah, I just think – and also, too, if you need to send someone to a military school, then probably everyone else is not the problem.
Yes, and I think there sometimes there may be a place for going to a place if you cannot, if you're staying in trouble with the law, you know, and you're worried about your kid going to jail.
Sometimes
I kind of understand that, but and maybe that's what happened. I don't know.
Yeah,
but I just know he has. There's a problem. The biggest problem is that he can hide it. He can hide that bully. For a while, which he successfully
acts like,
did.
Yeah.
And what was weird is he's got a certain magnetism
that
you're attracted to. And then you realize that's why Miona's going to be with him for longer. Or they may just stay together. I
think
both of them are just so vapid.
I think they won't stay together because Jabri adores and loves her right now. But once Jabri feels like that's a problem with the narcissist.
She disrespected me.
Once a narcissist feels like someone, not even disrespect, that their loyalty or allegiance is not to them, they turn on them.
Well, like that's what he would did with David.
Yep. And he will turn on her. Mark my words. I do think they could go maybe 5 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, they'll break up.
I just need to also say, just to put a button on this, his is a very sad, it's not going to end well. It's the kind of thing where he could get into substance abuse because
Jabri?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
he doesn't finish anything too.
Exactly.
That's a big thing is that he never finishes anything because he doesn't have follow through.
Yeah. Which is why when the parents would ask him, so you're going to do this. So we don't know. They've had to say this. And he always says, mom, blah, blah, blah. Every time. Now you know why that was.
Now you know.
Yeah. Anyway, can we...
May we never see him on our television again.
I pray we don't.
Because also, too, I want to say the thing that bothers me about Jabri, the desperateness to be famous.
Yeah.
The thirstiness.
It's
not even a... I mean, it is dehydration desperateness, and that's just... Ugh. Anyway.
So, he and John are fighting, and basically, It's...
He tries to say that John is lonely and just plays video games. And so the problem is that when he brings these things up, then Sean takes off on it and asks, she asked Patrick, she said, do you think that this impression of John is correct, Patrick? And that's where Patrick says, I think he gives a space. And but then what's kind of gross about this is that Thais starts siding with Jabri.
She's like, thank you for standing up for me.
And
now,
she's like, he is too involved in our relationship.
Thais's idea of a relationship is to defend your wife at all costs, regardless. It is ultimate allegiance to your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost a chivalry times
but
10.
But not to your husband.
Right.
So let's just call that out. Because she completely just threw her out and said, why aren't you taking up for him? Or taking up with him? And John explained, like, look, like, he can be combative, you know. Or John said, I try to be nice. I actually feel like, to be honest, I feel like from what we've seen from John, he behaved well this tell-all.
He did. Now, and he got in some real choice phrases. And normally I would have a problem with the casual homophobia of, I saw you fighting with your boyfriend over there, but not with Jabri.
You know what? I normally would,
Didn't
too.
Have a problem with it.
I did. He said it, and I went, that's okay.
Didn't have a problem with it.
Because I just don't like, yeah, but that's not. Again, I love John. Right now, John's going to say something and get himself canceled, y'all. That's going to happen.
It's a matter of time.
It's a matter of time.
But, like, burn after burn on Spockles.
And that's why when they broke, that's why when they go back together as, like, they were having that little break.
Yeah.
And then the producer said, all right, it's time to go back. And Jabri's like, I'm not going back in there with him. And Jabri starts talking about how he ruined everything, how he talked over everything.
Blame.
But that Jabri is just pointing out exactly what he just did. He's talked over everyone. He's interrupted every time. Holding my water. Is it okay?
No, I'm just staring at it. Just put it down.
Well, I was holding my water because I was going to talk, but then you asked me a question, and now I'm giving a point.
Well, you know what I do? I drink my water.
I don't like it. I'm double fisted with the mic in the water.
I drink my water when you're talking.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong. I feel like we're just like two friends just having a drink
at
a bar.
It's just weird. Just holding it. Anyway, don't make mouth sounds. So I just want to say the reason Jabri did not want John there is John was the only one who was calling him on his bullshit.
Yeah.
And could give it back to him. So it makes sense that when someone was challenging him to run the room, he would not. He, instead of to engage in dialogue, he took his toys and went home.
Yep.
Which is what he always does.
Yep.
What he did with David and all of that.
Yep.
It's just, he's a pathetic person, to be honest. Yeah. He's an adult. He is 27 years old.
Yeah, he's pathetic.
He's pathetic, honestly.
Yeah. So, where John, you know, and so
I'm going to drop him, y'all. Boston John would drop Jabri in a second.
I think so too, actually, yeah.
Like a scary right drunk hook.
And here's what's going to happen, I bet you. If Jabri came for John, Patrick would come for
Jabri. Agreed.
Because he didn't grow up, but he would take
that enmeshed trauma bond, y'all.
It would. I kind of wish it would have happened.
They would have never let it, unfortunately.
Have never let it happen. But so, my favorite part is when they're talking about this, and John says, you know, like, I try to be nice and cordial. He's like, I'm very combative. He's like, but I'm not going to sit here and say nothing. He's like, not my nature. And then, so Sean says, well, Patrick, it seems like you're taking this hands-off approach, and what do you actually think? Who's the problem, John or Thais? And
right. He's
like, well, I do think John is probably more the problem. And you see John kind of go, yeah, I'm the problem. Uh-huh. And then I don't know how John got his eye to wink.
It's almost like a twitch.
Yeah. And he go like, okay. And I'm like, this guy is literally like a walking Popeye cartoon.
I think John, though, knows Patrick had to say that.
Yeah.
And here's the trick. Thais will always be, even if Patrick and Thais are on our televisions again, which I don't think they will be unless it's Diaries.
No, I think they're going to go to Diaries.
She will not show who she is on camera.
No, she won't.
And that has been the biggest problem.
Yeah.
You can't really like her because she's never going to show enough who she is.
No, they're into diary land.
Yeah. They've been cast on the Diaries trash heap.
Yeah, the Misfit Island.
Set them aflame. Along with, like, along with just, like, randos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Josh and Ika will throw them on there.
Yeah, yeah.
No one's getting their own spinoff for Happily Ever After. The only Happily Ever After are Bilal and Shida. I think Emily and Kobe might be Happily After. Sadly.
One day, yeah.
Maybe Karen Guillermo.
Hey, I have to say, Gibberish got on my nerves so much this episode. I would be fine with more Emily and Kobe.
At least it's compelling. Now, this is how you know Patrick and John are going to be on Pillow Talk. Because Kenny and Tim actually wanted to interview him.
Interview him.
Like, all of a sudden, this is like the Super Bowl, and we're interviewing the quarterback.
I love that.
Get me out of this sports metaphor.
You weren't doing well. I was just going to let you. I love that Kenny said, I don't have a crush on him, but I do want to talk to John.
And
that means he has a little bit of a crush on him. Yeah.
And John says, well, here's the thing. John says, they're like, so what is it with Thais now? And he's like, here's the thing. I can tell that he loves her and that she loves him. Because he was going to Brazil every month. He's like, but I was trying to protect my brother. And this is in an attempt to rehab that image. That's why I think
he never said anything bad about Thais on the tell-all.
That's true. Nothing. So, this is, I guarantee you, John is going to be in this franchise. I can't imagine him not being.
I think he will be, but I also think John is canceled, the type though. Of, John, Thais married Patrick, and now they're having a baby. So, John.
All's forgiven.
I don't know if it's all forgiven, but he said, this is family now.
Yeah.
This woman's going to have my nephew or my niece. She is the mother. I think he feels there is loyalty to family,
right.
and he feels loyalty to her.
And what we did not say, you guys, if you didn't watch, John does not go back on stage because Jabri basically threatens not to.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
So that's why he leaves. And when Jabri comes back on stage, he's still jawing about John.
He's still jawing because he wants to get the last word in. I will say that I enjoyed... Kenny said, I said, John, I said, you're drunk. Are you drunk? And John was like, I behaved myself.
I had two beers last night.
And then afterwards, like, they're finishing up the interview, and Tim's like,
I don't drink, but I'll have a beer with you. It's like, you're like,
I would like a beer right now. I would.
I mean, like, my boots are real shiny. We could go, like, have fun.
I kind of could watch the three of them just all go around. That would be...
Love it.
That would... Y'all, the reboot of On the Town of them in New York. Give me that musical.
New York, New York.
Sparkle, New York, New York.
In this lonely town.
It's a beautiful town. That was a deep musical theater joke.
On the Town. So... Did you see the point? It was kind of chilling to watch that Bilal goes over to Jabri.
You said that mid-Atlantic. You said it was quite chilling to watch.
Bilal goes over, and this is when Bilal tips his hand. He's like, don't let anyone get to you. He's basically telling you, hey, we're black men right here. We don't want to be seen because Bilal is very, 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 very aware of how he seems on television.
Well,
and he's terrified of being the angry black man.
I feel like just from friends and people I know, like, I think black people are they're very aware of those ideas of the quote, angry black man, and they don't want to be that on television.
That's what I've been saying.
But no,
he's terrified of being that.
No, I'm just deepening that context for people. They're not, but you're right. It's why we never see any of Bilal this episode.
And it's scary though. And when Bilal
so calculating
try to tamp down his emotions, it's even scarier because you can just see him seething. That moment at the very end, which we're going to talk about, where Shida's crying and he's just staring at the camera, is not something I'm going to quickly forget.
Yeah.
That was like...
I'm telling you, he was livid. He was so angry when he got home, I bet.
Oh, I guarantee you he froze her out for a
week.
Like I said last,
I bet he didn't talk to her for several days. For sure.
God.
And it's interesting, the allegiance of Jabri. Here, Bilal goes up and talks to him. Yet later on, and we'll talk about this, Jabri completely goes for the jugular for them. So it just goes to show you, Jabri has loyalty only to Jabri. And that's why he and Miona will eventually, he will not have loyalty to her anymore.
Yeah, agreed.
Anyway, so we're back from the break, and Sean's like, Sean's like, what do we think about that? And that's where, I will say this was probably Sean's worst tell-all in a while. I don't think she did great. I don't think she followed
up. There was
a lot
of polling the couples, like they were experts.
Again, I've got to go to producers. It's not Sean, y'all. She's just doing what the producers are telling her to do, so...
Well, she could have shut down Jabri a couple times.
But yeah,
she could have said, Jabri, can you not give an opinion on everything?
Yeah. I would have loved it if she had said that.
But she let him talk.
But that's what the producers want,
yeah.
I think.
I guess.
Interesting. I don't think a lot of people like this second part of the tale. I'll be interested to see.
Awful.
Maybe it'll influence TLC's feedback.
Do
the tell-all in a different way.
I don't think so. I don't think they care. I think they're
I think they care about... They want people to talk about it. They want people to retweet it. They want people to re-TikTok it.
That's
true.
But I don't think they care who we like anymore.
Oh, no. They don't care who we like anymore at all. They just care who we tweet about and talk
about.
Who
we talk about.
Mm-hmm. Talk about. But that's when Taya says, at least said someone said something. And Kara... made a great, because Jabri is talking about, and he just, he just calls them white trash on the television. That is not.
Did he say white trash? I think he said trailer trash.
That is not an appropriate thing to say on television about other people. And
don't call me trailer trash. I live in a mobile home. That's a deep musical theater cut.
Wow. That's like old Southern gay deep musical theater.
No, it's from a musical called The Great American Trailer Park Musical.
I know, but only
with
like
Orfei.
Only like
who's gonna be on the new Housewives of New York? Orfei, Broadway sensation. I should have said that for Poodle's Broadway Corner.
Yeah, you
I'm
ruined
sorry.
That one. Only guys, gay guys from Branson or Orlando know that.
I know.
Musical. So I just want you to sit with that.
It's good, actually.
But again, I do understand Ty's...
Actually, no. I think that's from Cowboys.
You have to say this for next episode.
It's fair.
I do think Kara kind of brings up a point. I can see why Ty's is upset with Patrick because he never defends anything. Because even Kara's in that moment, she said to Patrick, Patrick, does it not bother you to hear someone call your brother trailer trash?
Yeah.
And you do have like this... Patrick just kind of sits there and takes it all. And that was the first moment I felt a little bit for Thais. And I went, oh, she probably does feel like it's like Patrick never really gets involved in the life they're living. He's kind of a bystander and just lets people direct him places.
Well,
but good for Kara for saying that.
I think when it comes to John, he can't move against him because he's indebted to John for what he did, what they did when they were younger.
Yeah, like
and
you
what
said, he's my older brother. Yeah.
So there is every time John is in his life, he's neutralized.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what someone who would maybe who is a little more subtle than Thais would have done is. You complain a little bit, but you just withhold sex from him. Because obviously that's what he...
Wow.
But I'm saying you don't overtly do it, and you don't complain about it. You just subtly say, I don't like John here.
You shouldn't get married, I think.
No, you pull a Robin Brown. That's how this is done from Sister Wives.
Oh,
you,
God.
You bide your time in months, in years, and then before you know it, you're living, you're, the other two wives are on the outs, and you're sitting there with a nanny.
That's what Amar would have done. I am not, you're not wrong.
But I'm saying that's when you got trauma enmeshment, like what that's happening there.
Yeah.
Normal, and this is the thing, people are saying, why can't he trust his wife? Because logic does not apply with trauma.
It doesn't.
So if you guys are saying he should blah, blah, blah that his wife, it's not possible for someone who, he's, Patrick, in some emotional way, Patrick is still stuck at 13 with his brother.
Oh, yeah. And it's like he says to Jabri, he's like, that's why I can't punk my brother. He's like, the same way you can't punk your mother.
Yeah.
And again, Jabri can't take that in. And he goes, no, but that's different. Again, because everything's always different for Jabri. And then we have this, and Patrick says, I don't know, it's the best I can do. And then we have a little bit of this, Ari and Biniam, that y'all, Ari fucking hates Biniam, or not Biniam, Ari hates Jabri.
Oh, yeah. You were bullying me earlier.
She's like, you were bullying me before and picking on me, and don't you see how that could be hurtful?
Honestly?
Because she brings that up because Jabri starts talking again how John was bullying everyone on set.
Honestly, there wasn't a single thing she said this tell-all that I did not agree with. And I'm having problems with that.
No, no. She said that and Jabri went, well, I wasn't bullying with you. I was just kind of da-da-da. No, it wasn't. And I said, that wasn't that to me. And then Sean Robbins said, well, this is one issue that won't get solved tonight.
You know that's my least favorite thing she does.
That's like saying, well, we'll have to agree to disagree.
When someone says that, it makes me want to rip into their body and Mortal Kombat them and rip out their spine. When someone says agree to disagree, we'll have to agree to disagree with me. That's what I want to do. Don't ever do that to me. You've done that to me before, and I have not responded well.
We're going to go to commercial, and we'll be right back.
Oh, agree to disagree.
Poodle, I got to tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No. The doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with her ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Caw!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and... the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song, To All Our Queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope. Keep going, Queens.
You know, I decided, I guess we're in the upside down of tell-alls. Because maybe because no one didn't come for them, really. But, like, Emily came off in this tell-all very well. And I wasn't annoyed by her at all.
Like an actual human being. Which she hasn't been all season.
A human being. She looked, even again when she was talking later on to Kenny and Tim, she looked fucking gorgeous.
Hair was good.
Her skin.
Not the rat's nest of the wedding
hair. Her makeup
hair.
Looked good. Beautiful. Yeah. But really, we're going to get into it. But, and God, these kids are fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I just did what I went, wait a minute. Is Emily not a terrible person?
No, she's
anymore?
A terrible person.
I'm so confused. What is happening?
I know you said, I still think she's pretty bad. I think her edit was worse than she was.
Yeah.
I still really believe that.
I do.
But
there was some, I think why I wouldn't mind watching them again. She is bad, but at least there's authenticity to that.
Thank you. It's compelling and there's stakes.
At least she was terrible enough to buy her own engagement ring because she didn't think her fiancé from Cameroon would get her one.
That is cringe to a level.
But what I want to see.
Yeah. So we see
y'all have
home
told
video,
us
home
there
video
is,
of yeah. Scarlet Fever's birth.
Yes, y'all have told us about Scarlet Fever.
Thank you. I remember hearing about it, but so... Her second child is technically named after a disease.
I do like the name Scarlet, actually.
I do, too. And Emily's watching. She's watching the kids and watching that. And she starts crying. And then we all kind of go, well, who's this bitch? Because the Emily I knew would just sit there and flick her tongue back like a giraffe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she cries because she said it was so special that Kobe got to be there for all of that.
Right.
Because he didn't get to see that. So
now we're going to we there's this. I don't know if they were talking about it beforehand and Sean or one of the producers says, yeah, we have to talk about this on the placenta or sorry, we have to talk about the placenta on the tell all because Sean's like, so this thing, there's a thing that you I heard you're doing. Your placenta, right?
I wasn't surprised by this.
We live in Los Angeles.
So maybe this is...
So many people do this in Los Angeles.
They do this.
Tell
they
you.
Talk... We had an episode of Extreme Sisters.
Yes.
So I feel like...
They did cook it, though.
But Sean acts like it's some... It's like
you've
an
never
alien
heard of it before.
Thing. Yes. And so... So...
Also, we don't care what you do with your placenta... If you eat it.
I am with Guillermo when he said.
Don't cook in my kitchen.
We ain't going to. No, when he said in his voice, we ain't going to cook that shit in my kitchen. That made me guffaw.
I don't think I could use the same cast iron skillet again.
But can I just talk about this is. I feel like this second half of this tell all was just laden with, so to speak, is tangents that we don't care about.
Well, I think it's tangents that will cause people to talk about stuff, will tweet about things.
I don't care about placentas. One other, what I care about...
Who eats the placenta?
I want to see the video of him telling her to shut the fuck up and everybody reacting to that and everybody having a response if Kobe was in the wrong for that.
I agree.
Instead of seeing... Then later on, show this clip about breastfeeding when that's like the one somewhat negative thing that this guy
100%,
did the entire season when he's been an angel the entire season. This tell-all, this second half was such a fucking misdirection of a tell-all.
And it was a love letter to Emily.
It just, I get it if you like her, but present her in a realistic way. I'm sorry. I think they could have done a much better job of presenting that.
They didn't mention the ring.
They didn't mention the ring. They didn't mention the ring, y'all. They didn't mention.
They didn't mention the engagement ring.
They didn't show the clip of her saying, "I already bought the." They showed nothing. She must be sucking, or Kobe must be fucking someone at TLC.
No, I told you. This is not going to make any. This is going to make everyone mad. They're grooming them for Pillow Talk.
I think they're grooming for Pillow Talk. And
here's one.
Like you,
and here's
one. You said Pillow Talk, and I said I think they could be on Hey next.
Here's
season.
One. Kobe, I guarantee you, polls the highest of anybody in that cast. Kobe and Guillermo, probably.
I love them. I love them both. I love Kobe.
And what's going to happen is Emily is color for that. Emily and the way they kind of fight is interesting. They both had interesting takes of the tell-all.
Mm-hmm. And they're young parents, so that's a relatable thing. Yes, a lot of people
they're a mixed race couple.
Yep.
They hit everything. Y'all, I hate to tell you, but I think you go see them on Pillow Talk.
You know, the way you explain that, I think if they keep going, now that probably they're getting divorced, we could see the family Coben. I'm telling you, mark my words, if they play their cards right, they will get their own spinoff.
No, I don't want to see that.
They're a family in Kansas. They're middle America. They're very relatable. And you said it when you said the word pole. I went, oh, yeah.
Poles through the roof.
I bet people, not just them, but her mom, her dad.
All of them.
Everybody relates to them.
Bangs. Yeah.
Yep. Calling it now. And y'all doubted us when we said Mother Debbie was going to be on The Single Life, and she's about to do her second season of it.
Season 2.
There you go. Season 2. So there you go.
Yeah. We still were rooting for Courtney, though.
Yeah.
I think she got lost on the way to the audition.
Yeah. I still don't know why she's not on The Single Life.
We need to get her to Tampa.
We do.
We're going to get her to Tampa.
Well, you know what? We'll definitely have to get a chauffeur at her house.
She'll need a handler.
She won't be able to get there on her own. Not on my own. So, again, so then Sean asked him about intimacy. And we find out that
this is such a weird tangent.
I don't care about any of this with them. I don't care if they're having sex or not. I mean,
there was a little bit of talk about having sex and who's having sex and baby talk and y'all. Bilal got roasted this tell-all, but not by who you'd think, by his wife.
By his wife. It was...
Because they were talking about... Kobe's like, yeah, I'm just kind of a really being careful right now. We're not having sex a lot because, like, we don't want to, you know, have any more kids. And Shadi's like, talk to Bilal. He knows exactly how not to get a woman pregnant.
And everybody just
Everyone goes,
what? What?
And Bilal's face, y'all.
That was one of those Thais faces where she goes,
yes.
By the way, she sits with the worst pot. If you're watching, Thais just sat like this the whole time. Yep. Y'all, tell your children to sit up in good posture.
It was like Aparna on Indian Matchmaker. She was out with that guy, Jay. She's like, can you please sit up straight? And I was like, only Aparna would do that.
Good for her.
Indian Matchmaking season 2 is amazing. I just started watching it again. Aparna. You remember Aparna?
I do.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I will say.
Shocker. She's still single.
I will say, Aparna walked so Viral could run this season.
Oh.
Woo! That we meet Viral, another I got that. Indian woman. Yikes.
Yikes.
And Seema's her old salty self, y'all.
So, so then Sean asks, has anyone's sex life cooled? They're talking about all their no one's really had a cool sex life, but that does get into the conversation of Bilal and Shida having a child. And that's where Shida says, well, Bilal likes to practice. And Bilal says, well, I want to enjoy each other for a few years. And Shida says, well, I'm 37. And again, Kara pops in and says, well, you could start trying to have a kid, but like I had a friend who it took years to have a baby. So it might not happen so quickly.
Then Bilal definitely says an outright lie. I had to convince her to have children.
Gaslighter.
So I guarantee, thank you. There's probably one part of that is true. Like I had to convince her to have children in a certain time, or I had to convince her on this day to have children. And she said, Bilal, that's not true.
She's like,
that's
she said it didn't happen that way at all. And he just sits there like, he doesn't argue back, but he just goes, because in his mind, it did.
Yeah.
That's what's scary. It's scary that he's not lying to try to make her look bad. Is that he actually believes the Amway shit he's selling.
Oh, yeah. There's one little bit. The only thing Emily gets the comeuppance for is they show a tweet about her basically forgetting Coben at home, and the kind of the biggest issue that the first big issue we had with Emily.
Yes.
And
which, if I just want to say, if I was producing this tell-all, I would have made that the first topic.
Yep.
Why did we talk about all this? I would have talked about their baby for a couple of minutes, new baby, and then this would have been the first thing.
I agree. Because, y'all, at any moment, Sean can say, now let's talk about something anyone was talking about. At any moment, we can edit that.
Yeah.
But it was edited with all this filler kind of easy question easy. For Emily. I'm telling you, it's because they are grooming her.
This was the first tell-all where I went, where I felt like we're being taken for a ride.
Me too.
And I've never felt that way in a tell-all.
And last season's, I felt that way. Last night, day, I should say.
Oh, so yeah.
And they're talking about the sex, having sex with him before they saw him. And it was interesting the way they did it. And Emily kind of explained herself. She's like, you know, I looked the same thing. She explained it away. I looked different. And
she had the same excuses.
It's all about her. Everything was about her. And I guess I kind of expected someone, maybe like Guillermo or some of the men, to come for her and say, but he wanted to see his kid. Because everyone's all men's rights now on the first episode.
Yeah, nobody said anything. And I thought, I mean, Kobe actually said.
And then Ari said, well, I guess I can't understand what you're saying because I had a problem with that. But now it doesn't matter.
Yeah, she said, I wasn't a fan of that at first, but now it makes sense. But Kobe even said, and nobody jumped on this, Kobe said, if she would have told me before I came when I was in Cameroon, I would have prepared for that and it would have been fine. It was just that. So he even went as far to say, I had been preparing for 8 months to see my son and then was told I have to wait. And no one said,
no,
Emily, that was shitty.
Also, there were so many things, the microaggressions of when he would do things with the baby, the bed, when she made him go sleep out of the bed. Yep. There were so many things.
None of it almost makes me wonder. And Jabri comes for everybody.
Yeah.
Jabri never came for Emily and Kobe.
That's true.
So leads me to believe probably this was talked about at the tell-all and they edited all of it out.
Could be.
I would love to hear someone. I bet you, because y'all, I know that these tell-alls are like 12 hours of taping.
Tim or Kenny.
Who?
Tim or Kenny.
They won't tell us.
Maybe not.
They're getting paid by Discovery. They're not going to tell us shit.
You're right. Shall we move on to
You Will Get It Done.
You Will Get It Done.
All right, y'all. Tatiana is ready to lay.
And she came in with, I just wrote, earrings.
Earrings. That's what, yeah. She had very big earrings.
There, and it's not, and I understand, it's not that, a lot of times those earrings go kind of this way, not sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like if they were kind of flush with her body, but it was like, woo.
They were, yeah. They look like stirrups. She just kind of grab onto.
Like big bike wheels.
Woo!
Now, what I did not understand is what Tatiana was there for. I know what I think she was there for.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to gin up Muhammad into getting angry. Because we haven't seen Muhammad angry the entire...
And she did.
Like this, because I thought what they were producers were really wanting is him to actually get angry. And y'all, he went from
you will get it done to you went like this, so it's this much anger. He still got it, yeah, but he still sounds the same when he's angry. Yeah, like you kind of thought he would be like, wait a minute, but no, nothing.
That's what they were wanting.
They immediately just kind of go in. She sits down and they just start fighting because he starts going at her and he says, he's telling her, which again, I'm kind of seeing his side of this because he says,
no,
this is my sexual private life here.
All of this, let's treat this what it was. all of this was a plant to make Muhammad uncomfortable. The women talked about it. They knew they were going to do it.
They knew.
They should have just admitted it.
And she kept saying, well, this is what we do in our culture. And she says, we all met through a tantra. And people think tantra is just about sex, but it's about we don't see sex as a shameful thing. That's all correct. But you want him to recognize all where you're coming from,
right.
Yet you refuse to actually see where he is coming
right.
from.
Yeah.
So this is a no-brainer to me. This is, if you did just a fucking Uncle Bing search, Aunt Bing search, is it Uncle or Aunt?
Aunt Bing.
Aunt Bing. It's Uncle
Google.
Uncle Google.
Well, no, the point here is it was overt. They were trying to
thank you. That's
make
what
fun
it was.
Of him.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to make fun of, not just, not, they were trying to make fun of what a sexual just like, because they think because they do tantra, they think they hold all the keys to the kingdom.
Yes.
So, and anyone else who's not as sexually evolved as they are
has a problem.
Exactly. So that's the way they see the world.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And they can't.
Neighbor just died up there.
She's rolling a barrel.
Uh huh.
She's
Shannon Miller's up there, and they're doing a beam right now. That's what's happening. 9.9.
Stick the landing, Carrie Strug.
Come on.
She has children now.
I'm sure she does.
Do you remember when that happened?
I bet you sobbed watching Carrie Strug.
I cannot tell you.
It was so fucking riveting.
That's when the Olympics were good. Maybe I was just younger.
Don't sound old and say that's when the Olympics were good.
Yeah, I think I just sound old.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop talking. I remember where I was. Carrie! You have children now. So
that's where we get Muhammad, who says, do you know me after you figured out I'm good in bed? This never gets
weird.
Answered.
No.
Again, if someone says, y'all, we host a podcast. I've hosted stuff. Like a lot of Jude Poodle, he's hosted stuff, but usually at night in a black light. But
yeah.
Still, we are accommodating hosts. If someone said on a show, and you found out I'm good in bed, I would say, wait a minute. Tatiana, how did you figure out Muhammad was good in bed? What do we mean by this?
It was because this was cut to ribbons.
This was something that should have been fleshed out. And if he said, well, I didn't mean, I meant I know I'm good in bed. And I would say, Eve, do you concur that Muhammad, you know
right.
what I mean? Explore this. None of it.
But Kobe agreed.
Give me Erica.
This is, I miss Erica Hill. Y'all, if you never watched the Erica Hill tell-alls, she wasn't having it.
You could tell that the producers would talk in her ear and she would go, no, I'm not going to say that. She would just say what she wanted to.
Bring back Eric. Justice for Erica Hill. I think she's fine now, though.
I think she's better off.
So, and can you imagine what Erica Hill would have done with gibberish?
Oh.
She's like, sit down. I really do wish it. I feel like there needs to be a change because the tell-all, Sean Robinson has no authority on that stage.
I feel like they're trying to make a change and they know it. They just don't know what to do because they brought Kenny and Tim on.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and you know, we've said several seasons ago, again, as Poodle said in the first episode, don't know where they got that idea.
Well, I think they're trying to create more of an entertainment version of a tell-all with play-by-play and saying, ooh, the tell-all is good, it's spicy, it's dramatic, blah, blah, blah. However, it's not going to keep being dramatic if you don't hold these people accountable. And no one was held accountable.
Honestly, and we'll talk about this later, I think Kenny and Tim asked the best questions of people because they had been on it and they honestly tried to, because especially because it's Kenny, you know, he was like off the camera. He said, I want to get some tea. And you know, because some of the things that he asked, like when they asked Emily, this is later on and we won't say, but when they said, who is the person that you just couldn't, that you didn't want to deal, that got on your nerves, this tell all.
Genius.
That's a great question. That's a great, great question.
Or I think that was a more, it felt very meta to me. And I, I was okay with that, but I don't know who's running the ship anymore.
It felt lost at sea.
Yeah, and especially with all the Jabri talk, and we had very few guests this time.
And I will say, as a host, you are there to control the conversation. Yeah. She let Jabri overran that conversation. She should have clamped him down.
So we are. There's a little bit of.
They keep fighting. They go and fight it again, and so they kind of calm down. And then Tatiana says what she's been waiting. She says, "I'd like to pose a question to the group. Has anyone ever said that they would get another sponsor?" And it's interesting because all the people, not all of them, but like Guillermo and some other people said, I get why he said that when you're that frustrated. And so I was surprised that people kind of came to Muhammad's.
Well, all the Americans, like, you don't know what it takes to fill out the paperwork.
And Guillermo brought a good point. He said, you don't know what it's like to feel like I'm working 6 days a week and then suddenly it just stops. He's like, you do get very frustrated.
Remember, the problem for Eve and Muhammad was not that she wanted to do that she wouldn't do the paperwork. She just kept putting it off and putting it off. And for him, being pragmatic,
you need to do my paperwork.
Well, yes, and kind of we'll talk about this in part of our part two, but what we find out at the end of this tell-all, Muhammad really wanted to get this going.
Yeah.
She did. But he does say something to Tatiana, which is so true. He said, because she kind of starts to, he was like, you know, I love these women. They're my soul sister. I just want everybody to get along.
But I love him,
and
too.
And Muhammad said, I do thank you for being supportive of her, Tatiana. He said, but the thing is, the questions you are asking me actually does nothing to help you understand me more. And I went, that's spot on.
He leveled her.
He leveled her with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she came off as venal and just being there to disrupt everything.
Yes. And afterwards, when Tim and Kenny were talking about, did you like it? That, no, Tim likes us. Tim's like, I didn't think they'd be together at all.
I didn't think they'd even be together. I mean, yeah.
And Kenny said, did you see he went up a notch? Well, I mean, just like one notch, but he went up. Kenny was really fucking funny on this episode.
And then there was like, and Tim was like, do re mi fa sol la ti do, sol la mi fa do do do. And they're like, they were both singing. And I was like,
where did they get that from?
This, exactly.
They were funny together, though.
If I could sue for IP. So, what's interesting is
they're in the cast room afterwards.
Yeah.
And that's where Emily is saying, like, she said, look. See, I wish this would have been said on stage where Emily said, look, if my friends, Sean should have asked someone.
If I brought
my fiance like that.
She's like, they wouldn't have been my friends anymore.
I would have told them to hold the fuck up. And I went, why didn't Sean ask anyone? And yeah. Failure.
Well, I know why they didn't ask, because that was all a plan.
Then Tatiana and they all hug again and have a group
fake.
Hug. Fake.
We have one little bit we're going to do more, and that's we're going to talk about Ari and Beanie for the first time.
For the first time.
That they bring them up. Again, y'all know I have very complicated feelings about Arietta. Ari.
I know.
And we know how I was on her first season. And we know how I was on her second season.
Yeah.
I think she is... I completely understand her now. I
wrote that too.
She makes a lot of sense to me. And I can't believe I'm saying that. And I don't like it. Now...
We're in a hell mouth.
Because when she says, I kind of like the idea of marriage being like, oh yeah, I'm married, but like doing my own thing. And I went, that's so interesting, because like, that's what I think about being like in a relationship. You can do your own thing. And like, when they say you can access other people's needs, and they say, well, I need you to validate me more, and I say, well, I need to fuck other people. So
again, Poodle, don't get married. I don't think it's for you. You don't need that institution.
So we both have different needs.
Don't think that's going to be for you. Wow.
And that's what I need.
I'm glad you know your needs.
And then, I mean, so that way we had an open relationship. He just didn't know.
Again,
anyway,
probably good for you to just date.
So they're talking about Avi and how cute he is. And we find out Beanie is in Las Vegas.
He's going to Las Vegas several months out of the year because MMA is all he's doing.
And there's a big Ethiopian community. So obviously he's now. I thought it was really Beanie basically said very little the whole tell-all. But I consider this a huge step for Ari to not be super jealous when he's there and not worry about him cheating on her.
Well, yeah, I do. It's interesting to y'all because we said Ari. Remember how we talked about Ari, like the reason that she broke up with Leander and all of that is because he probably wanted to settle down and go to school. And she wants to be this vagabond and travel around.
Yeah.
And so she now kind of is getting what she wants. But I will say, what I kind of gleaned from Ari, this understanding her more this episode is, first of all, bless her heart, she had no business being on reality TV.
I agree with you. She was not emotionally ready.
There was a sympathy that was brought up for me brought up in me for her.
Yep,
and I thought, not even you really don't know who you are. But also, you really don't have a lot of the confidence to develop who you are yet. And to see someone have to go through being, I went, God, I bet a lot of these last 2 years were really
hard.
Fucking hard on you.
I thought the same thing. And I saw someone who was
her choice to do it, but yeah.
Beaten and battered.
She seemed like a
But what was interesting, she does seem stronger now, and a lot of it rolls off of her now.
It's better. It is better. Now, but this was surprising that. So he's going to Vegas. I honestly, personally think I'm all about pursue your dreams. I think it's shitty, though, because you know he's not bringing any money to the table. And Ari, cut to her family, are 100% footing this bill for him to live in Vegas, not a cheap city, for him to live his dream.
It's not that you don't get any money at MMA, you guys. It's just that only higher up will you get any money. And it is good for them because I think now Ari realistically sees what their relationship is like. And she was talking about her view of marriage. She's like, yeah, you do your thing and I do my thing. And we're together and we raise their kid. And everyone was like, what? What does that have? No, you have to have your... No, you must live in the same place and you must be fully committed. And Ari's like, this works for us.
But it is confusing how, because she said, when I talked to Beanie, I said, so you're going to live there and I'll live here. And Beanie said, no. So I went, wait a minute. So were you all as a family going to Vegas for like 2 or 3 months and then going back? It was confusing.
I think it was that he said that's not a good long-term situation. So I think they're only living month to month. They are, I think what Ari is putting her is she's going all in on the fact that Beanie's going to get bored with MMA within 6 months.
Which is not going to happen. And they're kind of talking, and then Jabri starts to open his mouth and bully them and say they're not going to work out.
And then he says the same thing to Bilal and Shida.
Well,
and they're just like, what?
Well, he says that after Shida says, Jabri, don't put your mouth in their relationship. Let's be nice.
So the there only we have, person to check him besides John.
So now we have the people that aren't the host trying to control the person that keeps interrupting everyone else. Failure, and then that's when Jabri immediately goes for Bilal and Shida and says, you're not going to be together. Ari says, at least I'm aggressive, not passive aggressive. And I went, no, Ari, you're passive aggressive because going to Ethiopia for 1 week, but then deciding to stay for 3 months and blocking your fucking husband so they can't talk to you is passive aggressive.
It is. It was interesting to hear her, and it was interesting to see Ari's version of that. She's like, because I was doing it for me, so I wouldn't contacted him. And
yeah,
what that was, they were probably having a fight, and she's like, he didn't notice. I agree with her. I don't think he noticed.
Oh, I don't think he noticed at all, because he's, y'all don't forget, he's a fuckboy.
Yeah.
If you don't think that he's not cheating on her when he's in fucking Vegas for 3 months and she's in Ethiopia, then you're an idiot, y'all.
Or at least not really thinking about her.
Not really thinking about her.
Yeah.
Do I think he's like texting other women and doing things where he can get caught? Probably not.
No.
But you think if he goes to a party and he makes out with a woman at a party?
Or flirts.
And flirts? Yeah. Fuck yeah. Also, this is at the point of the tell-all where we cut to Miona and she just yawns.
That's right. Yes. She was so bored. She maybe said, even in their segment, she maybe said 50 words.
Yeah. If that.
Even Kobe said more than her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Even Muhammad said more than she did.
And
Thais,
it's true. And so Kara says, you know, he has so many things. I get why he wants to be in Vegas. And Sean finally asked a decent question. She said, Ari, does your version of a marriage align with Biniam's version of marriage? And Ari's like, oof, wow, which is a great question to ask. And Ari's like, well, not at first, but on the other hand, you know, I often want to run away screaming because it's scary. And we get space from one another. And she explains that, like you said earlier, this works for them.
So I think this is huge growth for her. She's figured it out for her that this works for us because she's not always uncomfortable.
Yeah, it almost feels like to me that they both are kind of like, because Ari said earlier, she's like, it's just we're so different from one another. There's love there, but we're so different.
No, they are.
But I think it feels like a little bit like they love each other enough to stay with each other because they have a kid.
That's it. Well, that was brought up later on.
Yeah, that's
true. We're going to talk about that.
You'll talk about it in part two.
But no, I think they are. I think they are emotionally worlds apart.
Worlds apart. Oh, worlds apart.
I cry like a baby. That song, River in the Rain.
I love the
Muddy
show.
Muddy Water, even.
I like Big River. It's a pretty show. The music's very pretty.
You
want to
be here with me?
Yes, it is. Just keep listing things
that's
that people
Big
don't
River.
Know, Jake. What about the...
That should be the name of the show.
Just Nunchuck.
No, that's also Big River, the Tom Sawyer musical.
What should be the name of this show?
Or the Huck Finn musical, I'm sorry. Listing things people don't know. Keep up. All right, that's it for this show, I believe.
Yeah,
because we're going to jump into gibberish next... Time and some more Emily and Kobe and some more Ari and Beanie.
Poor Ari and Beanie. As I just want to say, Kara summed it up when she listened to their marriage and she went, interesting approach. That's where I am. Y'all, we call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts?
Oh, God, I have nothing to say here.
And all the wrong places, Poodle.
You take it. I don't know what to say. Now, you also do this. Usually you introduce... Usually you say where you can find us.
Well, you can find us at Reality Gaze Podcast on our Instagram. That's our Linktree link is there where you can get tickets to our show. Go to y'all on TikTok where we went recently viral. Go to Reality Gaze. That's our TikTok
viral
account. You can follow us on our Facebook group. Our private Facebook group, Sissy Squad, our fan group is a private group. But they have fun in there. So we do a good job. We have fun in there. And then I got nothing else to say. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Now, I already said the first part again, so just say it.
So if you know how not to get a woman pregnant.
I do.
Me too.
Me too. Then call us.
I'd like to be pregnant. I've tried a lot.
Bye.
Bye.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.